And we're rolling on the Union Working podcast at Culver City Studios with Podcast Sage.
Union Working is a grassroots organization of film, television, and commercial performers of SAG-AFTRA.
We are dedicated to solutions, ideas, and creating a union that works for all of us. So we hope you will enjoy our informative, entertaining, and at times irreverent podcast about the challenges facing the modern-day union actor.
We support a membership-driven, membership-up model because...
We are the union!
Hey everybody, it's Mike Nelson, one of the core members of Union Working. I'm here with two of my other fellow core members. We got Bob Stevenson.
I'm Bob Stevenson.
And I'm Kevin Ashworth.
There they are. And we have three incredible guests for what we think is going to be a tremendous two-parter, our first two-parter podcast of the UW universe. We have three people here to talk about their experience going FICOR or financial core. We have, first and foremost, Kelly Pendigraft.
Hi, everybody.
We have Lowell Northrup.
Hello.
And Shannon Holmes.
Hi.
Welcome everybody. So first we wanted to lay a little groundwork about what financial core is for people that aren't familiar with. We are all familiar with it, you guys especially, but Kevin, I wanted to ask you, what is your version of the brass tacks of what is financial core, what does it mean, and how does SAG revere financial core?
So financial core means that you quit SAG-AFTRA, but you still pay fees to access the financial core functions of the union. You give up your membership benefits, but you can pay fees to get contractual benefits. FICOR is tricky for SAG-AFTRA because let's be clear that financial core applies to all unions.
Right, it was a Supreme Court decision, right? So it's all unions have, this is available.
And I think it started with the phone company, but if you work for the phone company on Monday, you still work for the phone company on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Whereas with this profession, you might have a different employer every day of the week.
That's true.
And so for any multi-employer professions, financial core has a very different ramification. But frankly, we view financial core as anti-union, or and some people call it scabs.
Yep.
And what else should I say about it? Is that to cover it?
Yeah, I think so. Because it stems from a Supreme Court ruling where employees didn't want some of their dues to go towards backing
lobbying
political candidates or, you know, like the Democratic Party or, you know, George Bush for president or whatnot. So the Supreme Court was like, yeah, that's unconstitutional. So you can pay fees that go towards collective bargaining, your contracts and stuff like that.
And that's the financial core of the union.
Correct.
The collective bargaining, but the Film Society is not the financial core of the union.
Right.
And SAG-AFTRA does not participate in partisan politics.
Right. We don't back candidates or parties with our money. We do, I think, do spend some money for lobbying.
We lobby governments for sure.
Pro-union stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like AFL-CIO, big labor stuff, but we're not giving money to the guy running for school board.
Correct.
So it is legal to do. It's legal to go financial core. Our three guests all went financial core. Let's just get right into it with our guests. Bob, do you have anything else to say about
it? No, I think that's great.
Excellent. All right. So that's what financial core is. It is available with you guys. I just wanted to find out, where were you guys at in your careers when you started thinking about and then eventually leading to deciding to go financial core? What kind of brought about your thinking about that? We'll start with Kelly.
Oh, hi. Okay, great. I'm really bad at dates, but I believe that I became FICOR around 2004. Unfortunately, there was no driving force behind it to leave the union, except I was working a lot as a union member, and someone had put it in my ear that I would work more because there were more jobs available out there that union people weren't being hired to do, and I would be ahead of the competition and therefore would work on both sides.
Best of both worlds.
Best of both worlds.
That wasn't an agent that put it in your head, was it?
It was an agent that put it in
my head. That's one of my follow-up questions. Yes, is, was it a fellow actor, an agent or manager, a casting director, or was it a director that wanted you to do a one-off non-union movie or something? It's all of those. I've talked to people that all have different experiences, but you had an agent.
I believe what had happened was I had heard about it, I asked about it, and my agent therefore then said, I think anybody's crazy if they don't do FICOR. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, great. Yeah, that began the journey. And I remember calling SAG and having the phone interview, having to write the letter, telling them why I was doing it. And I had said that I felt like I was competing in film and television against people that I didn't have enough experience to compete. So I was going to get more experience by doing non-union and eventually rejoin the union.
Okay, so from the beginning, you were thinking, like, I'm going to do this temporary, build up my credits.
Yeah, but that was even kind of a lie, right? I'm here today because this was a poor decision, and I speak out about it, and it's shameful for me, and I just want to maybe do right now.
Right. We're glad you're here, because this is what we're going to get into, and we'll move on to you, Lowell, same question. But yeah, we're going to get into the reasons why, because we hear all these same things. Everyone's got these talking points of why they do it, or you see groups on Facebook where they get together, and I delved into this and found that there was financial core groups, and I think there's part of that you make that decision, then you're kind of just like, this is cool, right? I need to find at least one other person that's like, yeah you're totally cool. And it's like, awesome, we're cool together. Like, we're both doing this, and I don't feel as bad. So there's like looking for community or affirmation from others too, because you kind of know. Like, this feels weird, or this is kind of
feel right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So I just was noticing that the union, I mostly go out for commercials. I have a commercial agent. I don't have a theatrical agent.
Okay.
I just was noticing all the union commercials were just drying up. I was like not going on any auditions. Mm-hmm. And around 2016, it was really getting slow. And I'm like, I love going out for commercials. I love booking commercials. I'm kind of missing being in commercials. Mm-hmm. So I'd heard the word FICOR, I've heard of that, and started asking around. I had a friend who goes, oh yeah, I've been FICOR for 10 years, and I book a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. You should consider it. Talk to someone else who is, I call a heavy hitter commercial actor. And he said, it's not for me, but you know, you do you. Talk to my agent, and she was very objective. She said, you know, if you want to try it, you can. I mean, I know what you mean. Everything is kind of going non-union. So if you want to try it out, I think you have to write a letter to SAG. I wrote a letter. SAG wrote back and said, you need to turn in your membership card, give us a reason why. And I said, I'm just not getting auditions anymore and I need to make some money. Mm-hmm. So that was around the end of 2017. I called my agent and said, okay, I'm FICOR now, it's official. The next day I had 3 auditions. Mm. I'm like, oh wow, this is a well-kept secret. Okay. And I think the next day I had like 2 more auditions, 3 more. It was like all of a sudden just opened up this sort of secret society. And I'm like, man, why didn't I do this sooner? So one of the first gigs I went out for was a regional commercial out of state with a buyout of $7,000. And it was regional restaurant, so it wouldn't really conflict with anything else.
Right.
And I'm thinking, $7,000, that's like, that's cool. Right. And because it was non-union, they were going to fly me to Scottsdale.
Awesome. For,
put me in a resort. No, seriously. I mean, this is my first non-union gig. Fly me to Scottsdale, which is kind of nice. Yeah. I like Scottsdale. Put me in a resort, and they're going to keep me for the entire week because they're not paying by the hour, and there's no overtime. It's just, hey, you're going to be here for a week. And I was fine with that. I have kids. I need to need time.
Yeah. So, I was going to ask you, was part of the reason for your decision to go FICOR is because you're married and have kids?
Yeah, that's definitely the pressure of money. Income definitely increases when you have a wife and kids. So that happened. I was feeling really good about myself. Came back. And then the next audition was that I booked was $500 for the day. $1,500, I think it was $1,500, if you made the cut.
Pretty common numbers.
And I'm like, all right, well, it's just one of those. I'm sure I'll get another one of those big buyouts. And it shot on a Sunday. And so my wife's pissed that I'm not, you know, she's like, is this union? I go, no, it's not, but it's money. Trust me, this is just a little.
You get double scale. It's Sunday.
Yeah.
No.
And it was a crappy shoot. I don't think it ever aired. I never seen it. So that was $500 per Sunday. And having to drive up to like Northridge or something.
Yeah.
And I think everything after that was like $500 for the day, $1,000 if it airs, or $1,500 nothing beyond that.
Yeah.
And then there was a lot of spokesman roles coming up. And I don't like spokesman roles. That's not my thing. But it would be like 2 pages of copy. You're going to be the spokesman for this product and it's $6,000 buyout. Can I mention the company?
In perpetuity?
Yeah.
Sure.
One company that the spokesperson for this travel website.
Maybe they'll sponsor our podcast.
Is that actor? I don't know his name, but he's kind of.
The Trivago guy.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. There we all were thinking it. Yeah.
So that came down the barrel.
Yeah.
Whatever we call it.
Came down
the tube. There, pipeline. Okay. Any kind of things.
I got you, Lil.
It was for the spokesman for Trivago. And the buyout was not great.
God.
And I'm thinking, once you're that person,
you're
that person.
Everyone's going to think of
everyone's
going to
know.
Person.
So you're done.
And everyone's going to think you're making $1,000 billion.
You're making $1,000. No, a little more than that. But
like,
not
Trivago's flow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I told my agent, I'm like, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And she was fine with it. I have a great agent.
All right, we're gonna pin it there because we're gonna get to all your like all the stuff you got to do as FICOR, because that's part of the big discussion. Yeah.
Hi, it's Jack Levy, producer of the Union Working Podcast and partner at Podcast Sage. As an awarded audio producer who's contributed to some of the finest feature films, television shows, video games, and records produced, I've been inundated with requests by peers and major studios alike to produce and manage podcast production, and I'd be delighted to do the same for you. Have an idea for a podcast and don't know where to start or who to call? Look no further. Have a scripted podcast, investigative or documentary, interview show, solo cast, game show, talk show, or literally any other project? Give me a call at 818-233-0640. That's 818-233-0640, or email me at jack@podcastsage.com. We have world-class studios here in Culver City and can work remote, on location, literally anywhere, and have the broadband experience to help with everything from concept development to recording and editing, staffing and writers, and of course, music. Call me at 818-233-0640 or shoot me an email at jack@podcastsage.com. Mention Union Working and get a 10% discount. Hell, I'll make it 15. And now, back to Union Working.
But Trivago, that does make sense because they couldn't even afford to give the guy a belt. Wasn't that a big thing? He didn't wear a belt.
Belt
in his shirt tucked in and no belt. And you're like, what is this?
The most recent one I saw had a pretty bad scene partner for him, too.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Non-union wardrobe department, clearly.
Yeah. And we'll go to Shannon again. Like, where were you in your career when you made the decision? Who influenced you to make the decision, if anybody?
I know I've been listening to you guys talk about it, and I was thinking, like, who influenced me? And it's just the dumb little voice in my head that influenced me.
Mm-hmm.
I talked, and I didn't do a whole lot of research on it and talked to a lot of people about it. I just talked to my agent about it, and he said, it's your decision. I won't submit you for any non-union stuff. So just leave my name off of it if you're going to go do that.
Good agent. Yeah.
And so you're on your own in that world.
Pretty much. But the reason that I wanted to do it is because I run sessions for commercials, and I just started seeing like the percentage of auditions that were non-union.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a lot more, but a lot of crappy ones. But in like 2 months, I saw three different jobs from three different casting offices that was a non-union something. Average buyout was like $45,000. I'm like, holy shit. And I wasn't FICOR yet.
Yeah.
By the I saw the third one and I was right for it. And I'm like, son of a bitch. And I just did it. And then I haven't seen anything like that since.
Yeah.
One other time. And it was just for like a small company, Mercedes.
Yeah. Never heard of them.
Broke.
You mean Mercedes-Benz?
Yes.
Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
Mercedes rules nails.
Yeah.
Mercedes rules amazing.
So I realized when I had submitted to rejoin SAG, they asked how long have you been FICOR, and I'm like, I thought like, oh, I think it was like 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was six.
Oh, wow.
Like I didn't go out for a lot of stuff. None of it seemed worth it.
Was part of your decision, you're a session runner, so you see everything.
Yeah.
You see every actor in town. You see the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
And was part of your decision was, I run sessions for some non-union stuff, and I see who my competition is too, and were you like, I should hold my own.
Yeah. And that's when it really sucks, when a couple of non-union that I would go on and I didn't get a call back.
That was bad for your psyche and your confidence. Like, oh no.
Yeah. Well, they're not looking for great actors in general. They're looking for good enough.
I'm like, hey, I'm not a great actor. I can do that.
No.
No. So that was kind of my decision to go FICOR. I switched agents from the good guy that didn't want me to do non-union work. Got a different agent, and they're just kind of obscure, and they're just awful.
Mm-hmm.
And I had told them I only want to go on non-union jobs that are decent. And so they started submitting me for jobs that they thought were decent relative to everything that they're seeing.
Yeah.
So they'd send me on the better ones and like a $2,000 total. I'm like, no, that's not decent.
That's
bad. Yeah. And you're also getting 20% off those jobs.
Yeah.
Sometimes 40% on the non-union thing, because there's the double dipping.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people know that agents take 20 to 40%, right?
Yeah.
Like they take quite
the
a
client
bit.
Will pay 20% and then 20% from the actor.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's definitely a trend we've seen that the non-union payments are going down.
Yeah, I've said that to people I've had discussions with about FICOR or non-union in general. And I'm like, if the union goes away, do you think our wages will go up or down? That's an easy answer. Yeah. They're going down. They're going down without the union contracts and having some sort of bar or ceiling or floor or whatever on all the stuff and protections. It's like they don't, a lot of producers don't find value in it.
It's important to interject that the best of the non-union world is as good as it is because of the union.
Right, right. Yeah,
they know the norms that get set on set after set after set.
If they want to get a spokesman for Trivago, they know they can't do $500 and that's it. They're like, we got to do $6,000 or whatever. Because again, they know that at least to get the caliber of person to speak English with articulation.
Well, also speaking of that, I think it's kind of scary too, because I think they sometimes do that to lure off the card guys.
Totally.
Right? So if they throw out a big, they might get a big fish, right?
Yeah, those unicorn jobs that, you know, the people talk about where it's like, oh, it's $25,000 buyout.
I'll dip my toe in that.
I think that's part of it too, is trying to lure, like, we'll get directors or producers will reach out to their actor friends and be like, come on, it shoots in Toronto or shoots in Mexico City. Just do this one job. But again, a lot of the times we talk about it, those unicorn jobs are in perpetuity or they're for 5 years. Yeah. So I saw one for Audi. It's like, again, Audi doesn't have the money to pay. What? But it was like, it was over 5 years. So it was like $30,000 over 5 years. Okay, that's $6,000 a year. Okay, give half of it to your agents and the tax man. That's $3,000 a year you made on that Audi job you took. And now you can't do a car commercial for the next 5 years. That's a big category. And
I'd be so screwed.
Is that cars my thing?
Cars is my thing. I'd be so screwed if
that's
I was
your
up
your real house.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I'm the dad driving the minivan.
For $3,000 a year, that would be terrible. Yeah. Well, another thing is you're not getting any pension and health benefits from those jobs. You're getting no money that goes towards a pension credit or health insurance. So
but also, I'm so sorry.
No, go ahead, Kelly.
The crazy thing about it too that I was finding when I was on these sets is that everybody around you is union.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All of the crew, all of the producers, everybody, they're all union except for you. And it's a really, you know, you can't help but feel like you've been taken advantage of.
Yeah.
My experience on set, same exact thing. Like just the talent are the only people that are non-union. But because they're used to working on union jobs, you kind of get treated, at least my experience, mostly the same, except when it comes to filling out the paperwork and stuff. Like if I have a question or anything, they just, nope, you agreed to this. You agreed to this. You have to sign it.
Wow.
Can I talk to my agent? Well, if you have to, but not really.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
did that happen quite a bit too? Like
twice. But then the one I realized like, I did sign off on going into the audition, but I looked at it wrong when I went in.
I had a contract changed on me for a company. Can I say the company?
Why not?
Sure. Sears. Mm-hmm.
They're doing great.
They're still around?
They're allowed to do nothing. Yeah. They're really mad.
Throw them a bone.
But I remember being in the trailer, looking at the contract, looking at the rate, and having the audition notice with the rate on my phone that I originally went in to audition for that rate, because I wouldn't have gone in otherwise. Right. And I could have caused a big stink about it. I didn't. I called my agent, and instead I was told not to cause a big stink about it. They called casting. Casting said, look, we know. Let's just let this one kind of slide. So my agent was like, I'll give you the balance.
How much was the difference from when you auditioned? $1,000. Jeez, that's not nothing.
It's not nothing, no.
And your agent said they'd give you the $1,000?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember if that ever came through.
Wow.
But
because we're getting the 20%. So
we've heard that story from a lot of
we're getting
we've heard that story 40%, from a lot of non-union shoots. Suddenly the terms change.
Yeah.
Down.
Yeah.
They lure you in with a rate that will get you in the door to audition to get the caliber of actor that'll be like, all right, I'll do this for $5,000 or whatever. And then when you're in a
we've heard a lot of stories too about people going, okay, you're going to get do this spot. We'll fly you up to San Francisco. And then you get to San Francisco. And it's like, oh, no. It's like 9 spots. And it's just for the same price.
Exactly what happened to me for a Fidelity spot.
Really?
And there were 4 commercials on the contract. No. I'm like, I scratched them out. And just circled the one and initialed this one only, and they looked at it. The second AD looked at it, and then let me come back.
Did they ask you? Were they like, Shannon, were you in the union before? Because no person that's just non-union would ever do that.
We've never had this problem.
Right. Well, and they came back and said, no, that's fine. Okay, but wow. Because they would have cut it up in a different...
Sure,
That's the thing that sucks, too, is there's nowhere for you guys to turn other than your agents. If you have an agent or a manager, you could be like, hey, I'm getting screwed over here, and they're like... Yeah, that's
too bad. I'm getting 20%.
Even though you cross those off too, if they cut it up and put you in other spots, your recourse to go after them would you know what I mean? Like, would you go? I mean,
would my little crossed out commercials,
right,
initial
little
thing hold up?
You don't have a lot of backing, especially without a union to chase them, right? Mm-hmm.
So when you guys petition, because you have to petition to leave the union, did you have to turn in your card or you didn't?
Like, I was anticipating. A lot of pushback, and probably part of me was kind of hoping I'd be talked out of it in a way. But it was like, okay, you need to do this. And it was a simple thing. And maybe I did have to turn my car, but
you thought they'd make you put it in a shredder in front of a panel of your peers?
Yeah. As I'm like, just metaphorically, like, I was thinking that might be like a, I don't know, like a FICO counselor or something, like, just to kind of say, here's what you should really consider these points before you go. We're not going to stop you from doing it, but it's you're hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. And it felt more like just calling to like disconnect my cable.
Oh, okay. And you guys, did you feel the same thing?
I think I got a letter that was a little scary.
Okay.
It said, we might not let you back in.
Yeah.
You're doing this on your own accord, and you know, you might not come back.
Okay.
But I had never heard of that happening before. And I was like, you know, I'm going to keep paying my dues. I'm paying my membership dues. Let me just try this out.
Yeah.
And,
Because we've heard that. We've heard that the unions, you know, that's one of their goals is, one, not to talk about FICOR a lot because they don't want word to get out that this is available
it's
for actors.
Yeah. So nobody listen to this podcast.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think we need to be, I think it's important that we talk about it and we get it out in the open. But we've also heard that, it's like, ooh, they get a stern talking to and they get told all these things of like, it's not going to be probably great for your career. And like, we don't necessarily have to let you back ever. Like, this is supposed to be a decision that could be for good. You are a non-member. You are regarded as a fees-paying non-member in a scab, in parentheses. Like, you are a scab.
But now coming back in, am I jumping too far ahead?
No.
What was that experience
like? Yeah,
was
that, like compared to that, or Kelly, what was your...
Again, I got really lucky. I came in when AFTRA merged with SAG. So it was automatic. It just...
So you only went FICOR and SAG and you were still a AFTRA member.
Yes. Yes.
So when they merged, you were automatically...
When they merged, I was automatically inducted back in. I had stopped doing non-union probably 2 years prior because I had just had it. So I took myself off of that list.
And for anybody who is FICOR right now, you can make that choice right now. You don't have to petition anybody.
You don't have to wait until you get your...
I had a friend that did that right now. He had a commercial that ran most of last football season. And he was in multiple spots. And I thought it was union. It was a big company. I was like, oh, man, how great. He's like, dude, that was not union. And I was like, you're FICOR. And he's like, yeah, but... After that, he told his agent, like, no more.
Yeah.
And he's petitioned to come back in as well. So that's mm-hmm, good.
But
that one was just a huge, just that killed him where he was excited that this was going to be great. And all he got was just overexposed because he was every weekend incessant on Saturday and Sundays. Mm-hmm. And he got that crappy buyout.
That's what kind of happened with me. I remember I went in for a commercial with Jeff Rosenman and I saw him. He's like, I came in for this American Express commercial and I was like, hey, oh my God, thank you so much for calling me in. Like, I was in a desperate place. And he's like, Kelly, I'm seeing you everywhere. I haven't called you in because you're a little overexposed.
Yeah.
And I was like, what?
Oh, no.
Everything came crashing down. And like, that was the moment I thought, what am I doing? This is not the direction that I want my career to go in. I didn't move here and leave my family 3,000 miles back east to come and be
not get paid.
This?
to be the queen of non-union commercials or to be the queen of FICOR acting. Yeah, which no one... picks up
and be overexposed without the compensation,
right?
The like artistic recognition,
right?
And,
that's one of the core concepts of the union contract, exposure, right?
Yeah. But what were we just talking about?
Overexposure.
She came back in through merger.
Came back in because of the merger.
We're talking about where are my screeners?
Which is on the tip of everyone's
tongue. That's question 12.
Where are my screeners? But one thing I wanted to touch on before we get to you guys coming back in is, what was the moment? That was the moment for you that I wanted to know of, like, you're a Fight Corps actor. We're rolling.
That's okay.
It's fine. We're rolling.
Does anybody want a beer?
Really?
Yeah. Kevin E. West, everybody. He's in here.
This is the part of the podcast where we keep it real.
You mean
real.
You were talking?
Yeah, man.
Quick, go give me a beer.
Was it good?
We were almost solving the issue, and you just ruined it with your face.
He's drinking wine.
Face for radio, Kevin E. West.
Hey,
but is there a moment? Yours was that moment of being told, you're overexposed. That's why I'm not bringing you in for any auditions.
Yes.
Yikes.
Yes.
Did you guys have any, can you remember a moment where you're like, I don't want to do this anymore?
Yeah, several of those moments. And then my shitty agent that tended to only submit me for FICOR stuff because I was their FICOR guy.
We hear that a lot from people, is that you think you're going to supplement your union income with your non-union income. I'm just going to add some non-union jobs on top of my union earnings. And you become the go-to non-union actor for those unicorn jobs or those non-unicorn jobs.
Either for your agent or for
the casting
offices too.
So that's...
Yeah, you made casting look good, right? When you walk in there, like, you're SAG actor, big actor, good actor.
Right.
And they're like, oh yeah, look at who I can bring in on the non-union job.
Right.
Yeah. For some reason, then they don't bring in on the union jobs. So it was just like a combination of, I'm just getting not enough auditions for union work, and I see that they're there, and I'm watching TV with everyone that I audition with in a commercial, and I didn't even audition for it.
Right.
For years ago, it used to be like, I remember, oh, he got it, good for him. But now it's like, I didn't even fucking read for that.
Wait, so that's interesting. So even the casting directors,
you
become their non-union people, and they don't want to put you in the union. They need to keep you over here.
That's true.
Wow.
As actors, we have to, in good faith, we have to rely on what we hope our agents are doing and what the casting directors are doing. So when you find out that, of like, oh no, these two gatekeepers that have a huge sway in my opportunities.
Yeah.
Think of me this way. Yikes.
It was kind of the slow dawning on me of that. And the last non-union job I did was that Fidelity one. And it was just shit. And it's like a fucking 3-year. If I went off, it would be just filled with profanities.
Yeah,
go ahead. You can swear.
Well, we're gonna take a break pretty soon. Maybe we can
just purge.
As we take our break, we'll leave you with Shannon Holmes' diatribe.
Like a fucking bricker, bricker, yeah. Jesus.
Yosemite Sam.
Yeah.
But it just was so stupid, and now just fucked. I can't audition for financial.
Which is, you said, a huge services category.
For 3 years.
Is
that good, banks?
Financial services.
So that's 3 years, you said?
Only three.
Big one.
But that's, again, like, financial services is such a, like, canopy of
Well, and credit cards. Or... I've aged myself out of the young dad roles, and now I'm old dad. I had no medium-aged dad. I think I just kind of jumped to now I'm like a financial guy, and I'm almost into like pharmaceutical.
Oh, yes.
You know, like
sitting in matching tubs with your wife.
Getting intimate in separate tubs. It's weird.
Yeah, financials are big for like regular people. Like that's our thing.
That's funny. Yeah, that's great. All right, Lowell, did you have a series of events or of an event that you were like,
we could do the top of part two.
I think we need to take a break.
Oh, sure. So let's come back to Lowell at the top of part two.
Nobody cares what you say. I know, right? Oh yeah, we're done. We reintroduce everybody.
We do have a little bit of a thing to end with.
Yes.
So I just want to make sure everybody knows that we're just gabbing. We're not official. Kakoya Friend is the official manager of Financial Corps at SAG-AFTRA. Her phone number is 323-549-6019. There's a lot of information on SAG-AFTRA.org about that. That is official information. Everything we've said is good stuff, but it's unofficial. It's our opinion.
Follow us at Union Working on Facebook and our website, unionworking.com. This podcast is produced in association with Podcast Sage, Jack at Culver City Studios. Thank you very much.
PodcastSage.com.
Make sure to download the next episode. I'd like to thank Blue Microphones. Their mics are fantastic and their headphones killer. The Gator Case Company, your equipment can travel in style. Protect your investment. PreSonus, I just love their Studio Live series. The Rode Corporation, the filmmaker kits, ambisonic microphone, and recorders all rock. And of course, Tascam, the Model 24 has been amazing. Need music for a podcast, television project, film, audiobook, or any other production need? I suggest you call my friends at Spirit Production Music. You can find them and listen to their music at spiritproductionmusic.com. Representing over 50 music libraries and over 200,000 tracks, Spirit Production Music has all the music you'll need, staff to help, and prices you'll love. Email them through their website or give them a call today at 818-508-2040. That's 818-508-2040. Ask for my buddy Ryan. He'll personally help you find the right music for your project. SpiritProductionMusic.com. Check them out. You'll be thrilled.